We're going to call the December 13, 2012 Code Enforcement Board meeting to order. Madam Secretary, would you call the roll, please?
Ms. Hubbick?
Here.
Ms. Hines?
Here.
Mr. Smart?
Here.
Mr. Harrington?
Here.
Mr. Bourne's called. His daughter's graduating with a master's degree in Miami today. Unable to attend. And Mr. Brown?
I'm present.
He's part of the meeting today.
Do you want to excuse Mr. Brown? I'd like to excuse Mr. Brown.
Do that in the form of a motion here, please. Take a motion to excuse Mr. Bourne's absence.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Kundig, seconded by Ms. Himes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. All righty. Has everyone had an opportunity to review the minutes for our November 8th, 2012 meeting? Any changes? Take a motion to approve the minutes.
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Mrs. Himes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Any members of the board have any ex parte communications they need to disclose at this time? All righty. Madam Secretary, any announcements?
Yes, sir. We do have a few that are in compliance that aren't listed on the agenda.
Okay.
Case number 3CEB11-12-130, 735 Marion Street, is in compliance as of today, 12/13/12. Case number 14CEB12-12-142, 2764 Ridge Road, is in compliance as of December 11, 2012. And case number 21, CEB12-12-149, 912 Sycamore Street, is in compliance as of this morning, 12/13/12. I believe that's all the ones that we have.
All righty. We want everyone to know that will be coming forward to speak today to please speak into the microphone as these proceedings are being recorded. At this time, we're going to go ahead and swear in staff that will be testifying today.
You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Any members of any attorneys present? Seeing none, we'll proceed with our first case, our lien review. Case number CB071197, property address is 529 South Street. We'll hear from staff.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, fellow members of the board.
Is anyone here for that case? Property addresses? Okay. Ma'am, if you can state your name in relation to the property owner.
Yes, I'm Anna Paulus, and Hometown Housing is the company that owns the property, and I'm a partner along with Earl Ball in that company.
Okay, if you can please raise your hand to be sworn in.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Okay, Ms. Paulus, we're going to hear from staff first, and then we'll give you an opportunity.
Thank you.
The property that's before you today just give me one second. The initial code violation started on April 22nd, 2011. Apparently, the property owner has since deceased. The property has gone into tax roll. It was purchased on January 10th, 2012. Since the property has been purchased, it has been brought into compliance. They've invested a lot of money into the property. The property was fined $100 per day. The fine was imposed on August 3rd, 2011. It has reached its maximum capacity of 15,000. And staff is recommending that that fine be reduced to 1,500 to cover administrative costs and time that we've invested in it. And that's it.
Okay. Mrs. Paulus, is that correct?
That's correct. Yes.
You can step up to the microphone.
Purchased it at that time.
Okay.
Yes. And yes, we. It sounds like everything is being squared away for us. I came prepared to just tell a little bit about what we have done. I don't know if that's necessary or not.
Not necessarily.
Okay. Then that sounds fair to us.
I would like to know a little bit about your discussion with the title company.
With the title company?
Yes.
We haven't had a discussion with the title company. At this point, we would not be selling it through a title company, but we would be selling it with a contract to an investor.
Well, maybe I'm misreading this. I thought that this property had been purchased with a clear title from the title company, and the lien was not recognized in the title search. Is that incorrect?
It was a tax deed sale. And when you have a tax deed sale, they give you a tax deed. And most things, you know, ordinary mortgages and that kind of thing would be gone after that sale. But items like the code enforcement, the liens, stay there. So there is a title search that we research that is on the county property appraiser's website. When you purchase, you look at it, and that is part of your research. This lien was not listed.
So the title company missed it.
Yes, the title company, I guess you could say that, for Volusia County, their title company missed it. Now, if you know, they have all kinds of wording on their, at the end of their title, that it's not a regular type of a title and so on. So it's not exactly that they made a horrible mistake that you can go back and find them. You know, they are not considered liable for whatever reason.
Okay, so you're accepting this potential $1,500 fine as fair? And
well, I haven't. We didn't know that price until we walked in this room. I did not know what it would be coming down to. Would I like for it to be less? Of course. And I mean, maybe that's why I need to maybe tell a little bit more about what we have done.
Go ahead.
We bought the property in January, and it was occupied at that time by an elderly gentleman in the back, and the property needed a lot of work. It wasn't really up to code, obviously. It was not really livable. So he was ready to leave, and he left of his own accord. We have done quite a bit of painting, removing carpeting, putting in new flooring, we've brought everything up to code as far as the smoke detectors, the windows lowering, raising, the doors lockable. Then we had learned that there were these liens, and that's why we got in contact with the city. And Officer Lopez came to take a look, and we worked with him a bit and got everything up to code. There's also an issue about whether this was a double or not, and we think that's been cleared up by statements from the neighbors. So, should we go with their $1,500? Should we? Is it possible for it to be reduced even more?
Well, ma'am, the board would have to discuss that. We just wanted to hear from you as the property owner.
Yes.
With regards to the property and the changes that you've made, and the board would have to make a final decision on that.
Right.
Any questions from members of the board for the respondent or for staff?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I have a few procedural questions that maybe the lawyers can answer. I don't know. How do we record a lien, a code lien. Who do we record it with? The county?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, yes. Ultimately, we're recording it in the court report. It's in a public record.
And how is it? How is it that they missed recording it?
It happens all the time.
It happens all the time.
Unfortunately, it does.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
Especially with tax deeds. Excuse me.
And could you explain more about tax deed sales so I get the gist of?
Basically, it's someone doesn't pay the taxes. Someone can go ahead and bid the tax amount plus penalties and interest, and they do it for 3 years. And after 3 years, if they continue to pay the tax and nobody else does, then they have the right to seek what they call a tax deed on that piece of property, for whatever they put into the property. They usually get the property at a lot less than it's actually
right.
Market value.
Right.
Although things have changed lately. It's not exactly. But it's a really good deed because you're getting property. But as you said, getting a tax deed doesn't necessarily take away all the encumbrances and the liens and all this. And it did in our case, which is good for us.
Do we have a piece of paper that says we recorded the tax, the code lien? It is in the packet?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, the code lien was reported September 2nd, 2011.
Okay.
Book 6628, page 2787, Volusia County Clerk's Court.
Okay. That's all.
Any other
you.
Questions? Staff has given a recommendation, Ms. Paulus, of a reduction of the lien amount to $1,500. If that was what the board went with, how long would you need to make that payment?
Boy, there's a good question.
Excuse me. I thought she said she did go long with it. She said she would go long with it.
But yeah, we haven't made the motion yet, so.
Right. We would need 30 days.
Okay.
Most likely.
Any further questions from board members?
Interesting enough, the title property, title search was done through 9-8-2011. The deed was recorded on 9-2, so 6 days earlier. So it's just possible they didn't catch it when they did the notice of the lien.
Mm-hmm.
But it's there.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am. Seeing no further questions, Chair will entertain a motion reducing our lien amount to $1,500 payable within 30 days, or the fine will revert back to the original amount plus interest.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Ms. Heim, second by Mr. Smart. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. All righty. Thank you, Ms. Paulus.
Thank you very much.
All righty.
I'm Amy. I'll be sending you the
paperwork. All right. We'll be moving on to the hearing of our cases. We'll start with Ms. Collins. Barbara, case number CB051242, Dorothy Lutz Estate. Property address is 115 Palm Place. Is the property owner present?
No.
All right.
I am here. The city is asking for another amendment on this case. His original scheduled date for his Board of Adjustment was pushed. They did not have a quorum. The city did not have a quorum for that agenda. So he was had to go to another scheduled date. He has just received his approval letter. He has turned in his plans and everything for the application. It's just a matter of running through the procedures now. So I'm asking for another amendment to the next cutoff.
All right.
But he was approved through the board.
Okay.
Hector, are we not requiring the officers to give their personal information anymore? Okay. I just want to. Oh.
I'm sorry. I thought that was new cases.
All righty. The code inspector has recommended that we amend our previous order and allow the respondent until January 2nd to bring the property in compliance or be returned to the board for a fine up to $1,000 per day. Motion made by Ms. Heim. Second. Second by Mr. Smart. Any discussion?
I'm somewhat concerned that we started this case. They were first notified in January. It's almost been a year, and I know that there have been problems with getting in front of different boards, but that seems like an awful long time to me. Can anybody address that?
Colleen Miles, zoning officer for the City of Daytona Beach. I've worked continuously, actually, with Barbara and Mr. Lutz. He doesn't make a lot of money. He didn't realize that he needed the permit, is what we've all been told. He had to secure a survey that he had to pay for out of his own pocket. He had to secure engineer drawings that he had to pay for out of his own pocket. He had to schedule the Board of Adjustment hearing that he had to pay for out of his own pocket. And then our board, unfortunately, we never do this, did not have a quorum. So he was continued until last month. And the day that he got his letter, he came down and filed for his permit. So, I mean, I don't know necessarily that he's really been not following through.
Sure. Any further questions? Seeing none, all in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. All right, Barbara, that's the only one you had. We will go to Danny. Case number CB111212125, Hugh and Cynthia Barrett. Property address is 149 South Hollywood Avenue, number 4. Is the respondent present? Danny, what can you tell us?
They have submitted their long-term lease to Colleen Miles, which now that they've done that, we're going to be amending to the next cutoff to allow them to schedule a rental inspection.
Okay.
So basically it's non-compliance next cutoff.
Okay.
Or amending to the next cutoff.
Inspector asking us to amend our previous order and allowing the respondent until January 2nd, 2013 to bring the property in compliance or be returned to the board for a one-time administrative fee of $250. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Harrington, seconded by Ms. Himes. Discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. All righty. Thank you, Danny.
Thank you.
We will move now to David. You have five. First one, David, is case number 5, CB111213. Berguon Properties Limited and 180 Moon LLC, aka Moon Daytona. Property addresses are 176 and 180 North Beach Street. Is the respondent present?
I don't see them.
Okay, go ahead, Mr. Newell.
Thank you. David Newell, City, Daytona Beach Fire Department. Fire inspector, credentials are on file with the city. Case number 11-12-133, Berguon Properties Limited and 180 Moon LLC, a.k.a. Moon of Daytona. If you remember, they had numerous issues with this property, dealing with the sprinkler system, problems in some areas that were less accessible to myself, some panic hardware for this is for the rear doors. This is the nightclub, the old Coliseum, if you guys remember. Since our last meeting, they have corrected everything but the exception of the sprinkler system. I've been told it has been inspected, although I have not seen any documentation on this that it's been inspected. So I, at this time, don't know if it's even – I've had no contact with the actual owners. Phone calls to them have not been returned. So at this time, I'm assuming that this has not been completed. So staff's recommendation, impose fine, $100 a day, cap of $20,000.
When you say it's been inspected, by who does that inspection?
The inspection is done by a licensed sprinkler contractor.
Okay.
It has to be done by a licensed sprinkler
and then
contractor.
They forward the paperwork to you or have it on file there? Or?
Both. The sprinkler contractor can forward it on to me, but it is ultimately the responsibility of the business owner to ensure that the deficiencies are corrected, if any. And that paperwork is forwarded on to me so I know if it has been corrected or not.
Any further questions?
Mr. Chair, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
The order requested a compliance with the sprinkler system within basically 10 days. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're saying, that I'm in compliance with the sprinkler system?
That is correct.
The same one that we were asking, the 10-day turnaround?
That's correct.
I just want to make sure I understand.
Further questions from members of the board? Mr. Newell has recommended that we fine the respondent $100 a day with a $20,000 max. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Ms. Koenig. Smart. Further discussion? Yes.
Sorry. One point in that motion. You may want to find go back to that November 18th date, which was the date that they were going to be compliant as opposed to.
I'll amend my motion.
They can if they want to.
Yeah, don't have to.
Right. I think that's a good idea to do that.
I'll amend my motion to November 18th. The fine starts November 18th.
Mr. Smart, are you seconding that amendment?
Yes, I do.
All righty. Motion on the floor is to fine the respondent $100 a day starting November 18th up to a $20,000 max or until the property is brought into compliance. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. So that we can finish page 2 on our agenda, we just want to note case number 3, which was CEB 1112130, Michael Lloyd. The property address is 735 Marion Street, is in compliance as of December 13th, 2012. And number 4 is in compliance, case number 1112132, Harvey Estates, as of December 4th, 2012. At this time, we move to case number 6, which is CEB 1112134, Beach Property Investment Group, LLC, and Beach Properties Investment, DBA, Bayview Hotel. Property address is 124 Orange Avenue. Is the respondent present?
No, they're not.
Okay. Proceed, please, Mr. Newell.
David Newell, City of Daytona Beach Fire Department, Fire Inspector. Credentials are on file with the city. This is case number 11-12-134, Beach Property Investment Group, LLC, and Beach Properties Investments. This is actually an update. I believe we gave 60 days at the last meeting. This is going to be an update. Everything is in compliance with the exception of the fire escape. They have applied for the permit for the fire escape to the Permits and Licensing Department. It will soon go through the channels through there for approval and construction. So I'm just letting you know that they are following through with what they are supposed to do at this time. So we're just I'm going to ask for a continuance or just move on to just as an update. I guess this is just an update, correct? Right?
If they were in compliance with all the other issues, then
yes.
Just the progress report about the fire.
Okay, just progress report. They are moving forward with getting it corrected.
Mm-hmm. And members of the board, if you'll remember this case, they had to have the fire escape constructed, mm-hmm. And that was the reason we allowed them the time to have it done.
And they have the permits already?
They have not the permit. They have applied for the permits and permits and licensing. There's a few things that has to go through once it gets past permits and licensing, because where it's at, it has to go up to redevelopment and historical to correct, right, Colin?
Colleen?
Historical and that for their approval.
Could I? Is when there is a safety issue involved, is there? Do we expedite these things a little faster?
Of course we do. Yes. It
okay.
Just hit my desk yesterday. It's going
okay. Good. Thank you.
Just so you know, Colleen did receive it yesterday. She called me. I went down and took a look at it, said it was all right. So then the process, we're moving as fast as we can to get this corrected.
Any further questions?
Yes. David, it has to go to the redevelopment board and the historic board for a permit. For what?
No, just has to get their approval.
Approval for a fire escape?
No, I'll let Colleen talk about that
Thanks
a little bit
very
more.
Much. anything that's in a redevelopment area gets reviewed by the redevelopment project manager for that district, and then a determination is...
I'm talking too fast. I can hear you telling me I'm talking too fast.
And then a determination is made if it has to go to the board. This would not have to. What we do is run it by them. They say we love it. Historic is not going to have any complaints about it because it's
a safety issue.
Right.
Correct. I didn't realize safety issues also went in front.
Everything
okay.
does.
Okay.
Not to the board, just to the project manager or
okay.
the liaison.
Okay.
Okay.
and they're putting it back pretty much exactly how it was before. So there's not encroaching. They don't actually have any area to encroach. They're beyond the property of the next property if they make it any bigger.
Any further questions for Ms. Newell? All righty, thank you for that update. We'll move on to case number 11-12135, Stephen C. Klein Revocable Trust, dated 10-2209.
That was an update.
Stephen C. Klein, Trustee in Investments, Unlimited of Volusia County, DBA, Three Oaks Inn. Property address is 331 South Palmetto Avenue. Is the respondent present?
Yes.
Would you please step forward, state your name, be sworn in, and your relation to the property owner?
Stephen Klein.
Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
And you are the property owner, Mr. Klein?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. We'll hear from the from Mr. Newell first, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond.
All right. David Newell, City Daytona Beach Fire Department, Fire Inspector, credentials are on file, CEB 11-2-135. Stephen Klein Revocable Trust, DDT 10-22-09, CEO Stephen C. Klein, Trustee in Investments Unlimited of Volusia County, LLC, DBA, Three Oaks Inn. Mr. Klein has taken care of every single violation on this list that you see forth in front of you. If you remember from our last meeting, he had to get the sprinkler system inspected, which he did, and there were some deficiencies upon that inspection. So the only thing left is the actual deficiencies from that inspection. I have been in contact with Mr. Klein and also with the contractor for the job that he has already signed a proposal to complete the actual work that is required for the deficiencies. So staff's recommending a continuance to next cutoff so he has the ability to correct those deficiencies from the sprinkler system.
Mr. Klein, anything?
Yes, sir. I spoke with Mr. Mann from Mastercraft this morning. 46 sprinkler heads came in yesterday. We scheduled it for 8 o'clock, 0800 Monday morning, and anticipate being done Monday morning.
Questions from members of the board? Staff has recommended that we amend our previous order and allow the respondent until January 2nd, 2013 to bring the property into compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Mrs. Himes. Discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you, sir.
Thank you all.
Moving on to case number 8, which is CEB 11-12136, Jesse Glock and Delmar Glock as JTRS, DBA, Hotel Delmar. Property address is 209 South Ridgewood Avenue. Is the respondent present?
Yes.
All righty, sir, if you can identify yourself and be sworn in.
Del Glock.
I
do.
All righty. Thank you, sir. We'll hear from Mr. Newell, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond.
David Newell, City of Daytona Beach Fire Department, Fire Inspector. This credentials are on file. This is case number 11-12-136. Jesse L. Glock and Delmar J. Glock Jr. as JTRS and DBA Hotel Delmar. All the deficiencies have been corrected with the exception of the signage that needs to go on the exterior of the building. That's a fire department connection sign, also a lightweight truss sign. Those are the only things that I have left to be placed to complete for everything to be in compliance. He is actually in the process of painting the building at this time. So he has a hired contractor. They have done some pressure washing. So he's explained to me, and I've knew this for several weeks now, that he's waiting until the painting of the building gets done. So staff's recommending a recommendation to continue to the next cutoff so he has the ability to paint the building, and then so these signs can then be put on.
Mr. Glock?
Yes.
Did you want to say anything?
No, that's... as what he said.
Okay. Any questions from members of the board? Seeing non-staff recommendation is amend our previous order. Allow the respondent until next cutoff, which is January 2nd, 2013, to bring the property in compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Himes, seconded by Mr. Smart. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you, sir. Is that it for you, Mr. Newell?
Yes, it is. Thank you very much.
All right. Let's see here. Tom's up.
Sure.
All righty. Case number CB, number 9. Case number CB 1212137, Daniel Mamon and Daytona Pit Stop, Incorporated. Property address is 42 South Atlantic Avenue. Is the respondent present?
Yes, he's here.
Okay. Can you please come forward, identify yourself, and be sworn in?
Hi, my name is Charlie Fedida.
You can say that last name one more time and spell it.
Fedida, F-E-D-I-D-A. Yes.
And your relation to the property owner, Mr. Fedida?
I'm the owner of the business.
Okay. All righty. We'll hear from our inspector first, and then we'll get an opportunity to respond.
My name is Officer Tom Clegg. I'm employed by the City of Daytona Beach in code enforcement, and my credentials are on file with the city. This is case number CE 2012-2973, City of Daytona Beach versus Daniel Mayhem, I think it is, and Daytona Pit Stop. Property address is 42 South Atlantic. Parcel number 04-15-33-01-05-0130, and the violation was illegal sales activities. This was a case that was brought to my attention from redevelopment on a Saturday on 11-10-12. Excuse me. And this is the fifth time I cited this gentleman's property. Back on 3/28/08, 2/12/09, 6/12/10, and 4/10/12, all violations occurred or the same as this outside sales activity. They came in compliance, at which time I gave them a notice of violation handwritten. And the city's here requesting a will fine for future violations.
Okay. Mr. Fedida, would you like to respond?
Well, it's the first time I know that he said that I was in violation before. Never happened before. I don't know why he's saying that, but it's okay. This was a mistake. I don't work on weekends. I instruct my employee to take out the two racks and to give it to the store next door because they were opening a store in the mall, the kiosk in the mall, and they were taking this merchandise with them. Their employee took out the racks, and it happened to come, and that's what happened. It was an honest mistake. I mean, the only way to take out the merchandise is through the front door, and that's it. And I wasn't there at that day, and the employee took him out, and the same time that he came, that's what happened.
Questions from members of the board?
Mr. Sieg, you have written documentation of the previous...
Yes, if you'd like to see it.
Who signed those?
They were all actual written violations. Was on 3/28/08 was written. That was mailed to them on a regular certified letter. 2/12/09 was a verbal. 6/12/10 was signed for, and 4/10/12 was signed for.
Sorry, I just opened the store in January of 2009.
Okay, and all these references he's made, sir, have been after 2009. Just so you
know. No, I know, but do you have any written or anything like that? I was never cited. I never took out stuff, and I never was in violation. Do you have a copy? Do you have something?
Okay, yeah. We can have you get with the staff after the meeting if you want to get a copy of those previous notices, if you would like.
Okay.
The property has been brought into compliance. We're here today for consideration of a will fine to make sure.
Include them out at the same time.
Okay. We're here today for consideration of a will fine to ensure that the violation does not occur again. Any questions from members of the board?
Can I ask who Daniel Mayman is?
Moment. He lives in Miami. He's the owner of the building.
He's the owner of the building, and you're the owner of the business?
Yes, I'm renting the business, yeah. The building.
Yeah, I understand.
Sir, you understand that a will fine means that if the officer has to cite you again, you will be fined.
I see. I understand.
So you cannot say from this point on that you didn't have any contact. It's on the record.
Yeah,
okay, fine.
All right, any further questions? Seeing none, Chair will entertain a motion finding the respondent in compliance. Find the respondent in compliance.
Non-compliance.
Non-compliance at the... Okay. Find a respondent in noncompliance, in compliance as of today, and allowing the issuance, if you will, of a will fine that can go up to $5,000 per occurrence. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Kundig, seconded by Ms. Himes. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. All righty, Mr. Fedita, if you understand. Yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt. If you don't mind, just as a note, and I'm sure most of you are aware, if there is a violation of Article 17, Section 2.111D3, which is a TPA violation, outside activity violation found in noncompliance, the violator is prohibited from any outside activity for a period of 3 years. However, it is up to the board to determine if they would like to impose that currently on this, or it is not up to the board. Yeah, it's a different one. However, this...
That leads us to this board?
No, it does not leave it to this board. It leaves it to the special magistrate to appeal the interpretive decision. However, I don't think that both the code officer and the applicant, I mean, the violator were aware.
What is it?
If you violate this again, you're prohibited from outside activity for 3 years, and I think you are familiar with that.
But not from this time.
I don't think y'all were privy to that information until I sat down today and talked to Mr. Clay. So I just want to let you know, since you have a will fine in place, should this occur again?
Right, but that's next time it happens again. Not if it doesn't happen because of what happened now.
Only because they didn't know. That's your call, Tony, not mine. I'm just saying.
Well, then let's...
So if it happens again, you're prohibited from outside activity for 3 years. And I'm sure you're familiar with that provision.
Yeah. Okay. Close the business and that's it.
All righty. Thank you, sir. Yes, sir. That's it.
Well, that's a collateral issue. I mean, it's not really a board's issue ultimately, but I believe it explained a little bit, not exactly consistent with the code. I believe, and I don't think that that's.
As he understands that it happens again,
it
would happen now. So, in other words, he wasn't aware.
Mr. President.
So is it, Tony, is it automatic that by the finding of noncompliance that he's not able to be here?
That's my understanding of this code.
Right,
we need to make sure. Right, but that's my understanding.
The board can just basically go
now
ahead.
Now, he has a remedy because he can seek an appeal with the magistrate.
Okay. What the board can do if the board wants to is they can go ahead and
so
just
that
put
means
in compliance.
Because of that, now I
hold
cannot.
Hold on 1 second, sir.
Oh, sorry.
They can find him in compliance. They don't have to find him in non-compliance if you want to do that. But if you find him in non-compliance, I believe this what's going to happen is there's going to be a problem now. He's going to have to appeal.
Would you read the motion back? I thought we said compliance and there will be a will fine.
No, and
okay, so it's both. All right.
We could go back if you don't want to do that. Just dismiss the case. But there would be no finding of non-compliance. But
I think
that's
the only way to make money.
Okay, Ms. Himes.
Am I understanding this right? I think what Mrs. Miles was just iterating to him because he said he did that. That if this happened again, not necessarily from this board, but that he would be prohibited for 3 years
right.
from doing any kind of vending.
But I just want to make sure we're clear. Did our actions today, as the board, will that affect him currently, Ms. Miles?
Yes,
it will?
Yes.
Okay.
That's why we need to revisit that issue. That's what we wanted to do.
Okay.
At least do it.
So let's do it. Let's have a motion to reconsider the issue, then we can come back and discuss it again.
Okay. Chair will entertain a motion to reconsider case number CB 1212137.
So
Daniel
moved.
Vaughn and David Daytona Pit Stop, Incorporated, property address 42 South Atlantic Avenue.
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Harrington, seconded by?
Second.
Seconded by Ms. Himes. All righty.
Just to reconsider.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. All right. Before us at this time, board, we're reconsidering our disposition, if you will, of case that is in question. whether or not to find the respondent in noncompliance, which would adversely affect his ability to do business, or finding the respondent in compliance and then giving them the understanding that if they are found in, if they violate the statute more or less again, that they will suffer a will fine. Questions from the board?
I think you either have to find them in non-compliance, out of compliance, or just dismiss the case.
Okay.
Dismiss the case, there is no finding of non-compliance. The only thing about the dismissal is that the will fine won't be in place.
Okay.
So that's the only issue.
Okay.
Doesn't mean they can't bring it up.
Please do. I mean, it's the only way.
Look to the attorney. If we do the will fine, then if he comes to go again, with this, he would have a fine, but he would also be...
No, because you didn't find him in non-compliance. So what... he would come in front of again. Just the only difference is it wouldn't go back. It wouldn't be like a repeat violation. It would be a brand new case.
Oh.
It still could fine him. Yeah. Just it wouldn't be going back like we did. But maybe like we did on the other case on November 18th.
Right.
We couldn't go back. We didn't have the increased money of $5,000.
Right, the repeat violation.
Only up to $1,000. So you still could fine him. And you still could, but it wouldn't be, you wouldn't have those $5,000 sanction and going back part.
No. You can't bring him straight to hearing for a fine, though.
Right, you have to give the notice. You'd have to have regular notice like everybody else. You have to give the process. And I don't have a problem with that.
So the motion we want to correct the situation is to simply find him in compliance or to dismiss the case.
Mr. Jackson.
Yes, if I could be heard.
Just
trying to get some clarification, one from staff as well as to bring some clarity to the board as far as the staff's position. The clarity as to whether or not there was a clear understanding, it's been in the code, it is the code, that we have two sections that affect businesses with this three-year situation. One is one that was recently, just this week, related to the issues of master planning. This is not the master plan one for outside activities. This is for TPAs. And what this section says is that if anyone is found in noncompliance or if anyone is found is fined by the board, that they are then prohibited from participating in TPAs for 3 years. Now, they have... Is this, well, does he have a remedy? Does this also go
through? There's a remedy for it.
I'm not reading it, but I believe it's the same remedy. And that remedy is he has a remedy once that occurs. And that remedy is that he can seek a, and I don't know what the language is, but
he can appeal
and it can be waived
by
the magistrate. And I agree, yes, we can avoid it by not making those findings.
Right.
But the position of the staff is that he is in noncompliance. And the
was.
Well, he was in noncompliance, and now he's been found in compliance. And that the effects of that are collateral effects, not really the effects that the board are imposing. Whether or not he has 3 years, that's not what you're deciding.
Right, right.
You're deciding whether or not he was in compliance or noncompliance.
Mm-hmm.
And if there is indeed a fine related or sanction related to that, you would be considering that in accordance with your criteria for imposing fines. The fact, and granted, the gravity of events, always we understand that you consider. There is a collateral effect. We understand that. And having discussed it, the staff's position is we do understand this collateral effect. We're not trying to automatically eliminate this effect. It's unfortunate, but there is a remedy, and that remedy is what he'll have to seek. It's the position of staff. But again, ultimately, the decision is the decision of the board.
Okay. Ms. Kunde?
This is not the first time that there's been a violation of this. It's the fifth time?
Well, it's the fifth time. The third time he admitted in 09, and I was like, he said January of 09 that he was had the business. I cited him also on 6/12/10, 4/10/12. April 10th and also 11/10th. So this is the third time.
Third
for
time.
For him.
Okay. Now, would the fine go to Daytona Pit Stop or the owner of the building or both?
Understand, at this time, there's no fine because of the nature of this event itself. The only thing we could do is ask for a will fine. for if there's a future violation.
If there's a future violation.
The effects of this will find, since they're both named as parties, as respondents, both of them would be affected by our future action, but it would be based upon how we file it. If we file it only against the business, it's only against the business, or if we file it only against the landowner. But I would expect we would do just as we always have done, which would be against the property and the landowner as well as the business in the future.
Further questions from the board?
Excuse me, do you ever hear from the public?
Yeah. No.
Well,
if
and testimony, you do not get public testimony?
Mr. Garcia, what's your recommendation? Okay.
Can you tell what he's willing to do? If he doesn't want to be with us, well, then I don't know. Please, I don't know. So, I mean, well, I don't know. I didn't ask him to say
it. If this were really up to the case.
A moment, please.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, on record. Mr. Smart, you have a question?
Yes, I have a question. I seem to recall a case where, if I remember correctly, involved signs. And the person, the business was not in violation at the time. We helped us. We will find next time a fine. I don't see a difference between that and this.
Things locale. Things of location where those fines go into play. If I'm not mistaken, I believe the situation came up when there was a business located at the near the Publix on I can't even think of the street name on Belleville. The Play It Again Sports. I think the location is what's key here. I think because of the location of this business.
Well, this one involved the business on Main Street.
Okay.
Okay. I don't really think we should be getting these other cases confused.
Right. We have a precedent. He was trying to see the similarity. Before you go, Mr. Garcia, I think Ms. Himes had a question. Okay. Mr. Garcia.
Okay. Staff's recommendation is to maintain the order as previously stated. The business owner was in noncompliance at the time of the violation. He is in compliance now. However, he does have the right, and he'll get explained that he can go before the special magistrate to seek an appeal and if he wants to get a TPA. But as of now, we're going to stick to the order that the board has chosen and stick to the ordinance the way it has been written.
Do you recommend the will fine, too?
That's correct, and also a will fine.
Yeah.
Okay. So moved.
Hold on one second, sir. Ms. Kunde.
So we're going to find him in noncompliance and impose a will fine.
That's the recommendation from staff, is to find
the
respondent
be the motion.
In noncompliance.
Right.
Currently in compliance.
And then a will fine, as our previous motion.
Yeah. Now, as far as the public is concerned, we don't listen to the public.
Not unless they're directly involved. It's not the same as a city commission meeting.
If you'd like to call a witness on a case, they have the right to do so. But we do not take public input. It's a quasi-judicial board.
Fine.
Can I just say something? Can you please, one consideration. It's not going to happen again.
You have an opportunity. You can speak.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you can speak.
Oh, sorry.
You're not the public.
It won't happen again. If I don't have a TPA in Daytona, if I'm not going to use the bike week and the race week, I might as well be out of business. We're already suffering. We're already struggling. I'm asking you, please. This is going to be a big impact, not only on my business, but on my whole family. I mean, it's never going to happen again. I promise you, and I guarantee you that. It was an honest mistake, and that's it. Please do not fine me. Please do not get me out of business. Because if I don't have those TPA to use them to use them for Bike Week and Biketoberfest, Race Week and 4th of July, I might as well be out of business. It's going to ruin my business completely. It's going to go down. Already business is struggling. We're not even doing $100 or $200 a day, not even to support everything. And now it's going to be even worse. So I'm asking you, please, consider me. I mean, it was an honest mistake, and it's not going to happen again. We can dismiss it for now, and I guarantee you it will never happen again. Please. I mean, it's going to put me not only out of business, but it's going to take the bread and butter out of my family. I won't be able to feed family, because if I'm not going to have the Bike Week to make money, the Biketoberfest, the Race Week, and the 4th of July, I might as well be out of business in Daytona Beach.
If I may just say,
Mr. Jackson.
Yes, sir. I understand the plea being made by the respondent. But to give you an analogy as to criminal law, basically, that plea has the effect of asking for a jury pardon. This board's obligation is to hear cases and make determinations based on the facts that have been presented. The facts presented, as far as the city's concerned, has been that this gentleman has been in noncompliance. Now, obviously, ultimately, the determination to the board, but based on the facts presented, we believe he has been found in noncompliance, and based on those findings, any other decision is a decision that's waiving those facts or ignoring those facts.
Mr. Smart, you had a question.
I am confused now, because my understanding is that even though he was in noncompliance, he's in compliance now. Yes. We're not fining him now. Right. We're just saying if it happens again, he will be fined.
Right. But the issue that has come up is that because of the noncompliance, he will not be able. He has to appeal that decision, because he will not be able to have outside sales for 3 years unless he appeals that decision to another board.
Because a part of the motion is he was in noncompliance, now in compliance. So that is the question before us.
All right, Mr. Chet, that decision has nothing to do with this board. We find.
Well, as citizens consider the impact of our decisions. Yes. We as citizens can consider the impact of the decisions that we make as the code enforcement board. That's something we can weigh.
And all I'm asking is please dismiss the
time. All righty.
Their
motion. At this time, Chair will intend a motion.
So moved. The pre-motion, which was in compliance, but with a will fine.
Motion to be considered is finding a respondent in noncompliance at this time in compliance, and the issuance of a will fine should there be a repeat violation. Will fine up to $5,000 per occurrence. Is there a
second?
Motion made by Ms. Heim, seconded by Ms. Kundig. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of the motion respond by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. All righty. Case number 10 is 1212138. Property address, owner, Timothy Greeney. Property address is 106 Claire Terrence. Property is in compliance as of 11/27/2012. Case number 11, CB 1212139. Gary and Debbie Hunter. Property address is 319 Emory Drive. Is the respondent present? All righty. Mr. Clegg?
My name is Officer Tom Clegg. I'm employed by the City of Daytona Beach as a code enforcement officer. My credentials are on file with the city. It's case number CE 2012-2256, City of Daytona Beach versus Gary and Debbie Hunter. Properties at 319 Emory. Parcel number is 25-14-32-01-15-0210. Violations, failure to maintain a pool. This case is a complaint-driven from a next-door neighbor.
Pool is green. It still is green to this date. The property is secure. I found no less pendants on it, but I did file find a divorce case pending, so I think they're having marital problems.
All right.
But the property, I mean, the green card was received at 101 River Riviera Estates in Ormond Beach, and it's from the property appraisal. It was P.O. Box 42 in Ormond, so obviously they did receive it. So.
Questions from the board? Staff recommendation is to find the respondent a non-compliance, allowing the respondent till next cutoff to bring the property in compliance, be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Hines, seconded by Mr. Smart. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number 12, CB1212140. Carl Chance Revocable Living Trust, dated 10-10-97. Property address is 437 Goodall Avenue. Property is in compliance as of 11-27-2012. Case number 13, CB1212141, Travis Lee Roby and Jacqueline G. Harmon. Property address is 725 North Peninsula Drive. Is the respondent present? All righty, Mr. Clegg.
My name is Officer Tom Clegg. I'm employed by the City of Daytona Beach as a code enforcement officer, and my credentials are in file with the city. This is case number CE-2012-2484, City of Daytona Beach versus Robbie Lee Travis and Jacqueline Harmon. Property address is 725 North Peninsula. Parcel ID number is 05-15-3301-08-0030. And the violation is non-conforming use. It's a triplex converted into a triplex. I think there was a couple witnesses who wanted to testify, but basically, as of yesterday at 4 p.m., I checked on a Volusia County property appraisal. It's under the people's name. I went to the property to post it 2 weeks ago, and they said the property was closed on, and new owners should have been here today, and obviously they're not here. So I don't know if he was lying to me, but it was Mr. Travis at the time who told me that he sold it.
Okay.
Do we know we don't know for a fact that there is new owners or not?
No, I don't know for a fact. Like I said, I just checked the property appraisal as of yesterday at 4 p.m. It's still listed as them. There was a for sale sign. It has removed them.
But nothing had been recorded as of yesterday at 4 o'clock. So.
And I don't know if the zoning officer would like to testify or our witness out there.
Colleen Miles, zoning officer for the City of Daytona Beach. Through some citizen complaints, there were validation that the place had been converted to a three-unit. Our records go back historically that it was a single-family house. The detached in-law unit from way back in the day was ending up being a permitted use when a zoning overlay went into the area. It's a single-family zoning classification in that area, but there is a transition district that will allow for an additional living unit based on certain criteria. This property does meet those criteria for two living units, however, not for three. Previous purchaser came in, attempted to secure an occupational license based on Mr. Clegg's citation, and he was denied, and not very pleased about that. I suggested that he seek relief through his realtor, which didn't seem to be a viable solution, so I guess he decided to sell the property. Since that time, I have spoken with another realtor and explained the situation. The property will have to be converted back with valid building permits and an inspection to a two-unit, at which time we can license it. Various neighbors in the neighborhood, besides somebody who's directly affected, have called in to speak to the issue and are keeping an eye on the property for compliance as well.
Is there anyone living in it now?
Yes. I believe that there's a neighbor who could speak to it if you'd like.
Yeah.
Okay.
Please come up to the microphone, state your name, address.
Tracy Remark, 815 North Oleander Avenue, Daytona Beach, right around the corner from here.
Please right hand.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry,
please.
I forgot. Yes, I do. I had a conversation with the owner end of August or early September, right around Labor Day. He was recommended by the title company who had done the closing to call me, since I've been involved in the neighborhood for quite some time. And he told me he was having some problems with the city because they wouldn't license him for a triplex. And he had bought the property. He had done a lot of work to the property, which, by the way, checking right before I came in this morning, none of it was ever permitted. The city would not allow him to have a triplex, and the reason that it came up, that he told me, was because he had an offer to buy the property. Some people wanted to turn it into offices, and in following up on that, found out what was allowed in the zoning and what was not allowed in the zoning. So offices are not allowed, nor is the triplex, that all the work that he had done. I told him that I explained to him the zoning. I explained to him the long history of what is legally nonconforming and what happens when you lose the use of that. And also told him of several properties in the neighborhood that had gone through the same thing. 900 North Grandview was a triplex back to single family, 213 Jessamine, triplex back to a duplex, 830 North Wald Olive, a triplex, illegal third unit required to be removed, 917 North Oleander, same thing, 701 North Grandview, a triplex returned to a legal duplex, all through the code process since the neighborhood was rezoned. And I told him that the only remedy that I would see that he had was to go after his realtor for if there was any misrepresentation in the property. Apparently there had been miscommunication in what he thought he was buying, only to find out that his realtor was his mother, so that wasn't going to happen. But I did have the personal conversation with him. After that conversation, about 2 weeks later, he put three mailboxes up in the front yard that had not been there, obviously signaling his use to have it as a triplex. Vehicles showed up, many of them on the front lawn, which we had to call for those violations, and then a for sale sign went up. So with three mailboxes, it would be my indication that he was trying to sell it as a triplex and still do that. Any questions on my testimony?
Okay. Thank you. All righty. Name?
There's a warranty deed that was recorded on December 3rd, 2012. From
the new owner?
Lee Travis Roby and Jacqueline Harmon to Ian Altez and Sean Conway.
Well, then we have no choice but to go ahead and notify the new owners. Yeah, you're with it.
You're still under oath.
Actually, I had forgotten. Yes, I do know there was a closing from the title company, and I do know that in the closing papers that the new owners were made aware that the property has a code violation against it and is not in noncompliance, and the new owners are aware that they have to bring it into compliance. That was part of their closing papers.
But we haven't put the new owners on notice at this point, so we have to go ahead
that
and do that.
Under
the statute, we have no choice but to put the name and give them an opportunity to cure the problem, so we have to continue the case.
Okay.
So we just...
Just continue the case to the
next cutoff?
Next month. No, it's not. You can't find them non-compliant. You have to give the new owners an opportunity to cure.
All right. Okay. So we are going to continue case CB1212141 until the new owners have been notified and properly
properly in front of us.
I just need to ask one thing before you take them.
Can we go ahead and
add them as new owners at this time?
Yeah, you can do that, sure.
So why don't
we do that? Can add them to his new owner, but you still have to notify him.
Right, and then and continue.
Is that a motion or is that just administrative.
You could put it as part of a motion, but I'm saying that they could add him, but I'm saying you still have to notify him.
Right.
You can't find anybody, did he?
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out what kind of order, if at all, or am I doing like an amended notice?
Yeah, let them just continue the case. Let's just continue the case. Right. You make a decision if you want to add him or not. That's your decision.
All right.
You want to handle it?
We're going to continue this case until our next meeting.
Good. Take a break.
Is that enough to do? Till we don't need to just continue the case until we notify the new...
In front of us. We can't do anything else.
Okay.
They have to go ahead and get the proper owners in front of us. We just found out that there was a sale. Remember I asked at the beginning, do you know if there's a sale? And he said, didn't know. Well, she says there is.
Right.
So that's their responsibility. So right now we have no one of the proper owners in front of us. We have to continue the case.
All righty. We're going to take a five-minute...
motion.
On the one we just did?
Yes.
Okay. I'll take a motion to consider case number... to continue case number 1212141 until our next meeting.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Hahn, seconded by Mr. Harrington. All in favor, any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. All righty. Case number 14, which is CB1212142, is in compliance as of 12/11/2012. At this time, we'll take a five-minute break. Reconvene at 10:11.
Matter here, you got it.
I don't want to get anybody in trouble.
Well, that's you did the right way.
All righty, we'll reconvene our December 13, 2012 Code Enforcement Board meeting. We're going to pick up with Code Inspector Mr. Lopez. And Mr. Lopez, I'll allow you to let us know which case we've got to call since the remaining respondents are here for you.
Yeah, if we could go to number 23, sir.
Case number 23, CB1212151, Jeanette McKinnon, property address located at 639 Whitehall Street. Is the respondent present? You can come forward, please. Identify yourself and be sworn in.
My name is Jeanette McKinnon.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
All righty. Thank you, Ms. McKinnon. We'll hear from Mr. Lopez, and then we'll get an opportunity to respond.
Good morning. Eddie Lopez, Daytona Beach Code Enforcement. Case number CB1212151. City of Daytona Beach versus Victor Ingram and
23.
Excuse me. I sure did. Janet McKinnon.
Jeanette
McKinnon. Parcel ID numbers 3915335100040. Pictures you're about to see are true and accurate of what I observed. This property has extensive exterior damage. As you can see, the porch in the back is dilapidated. The vehicle has been removed. Some trash and debris that was around the property has been removed. There's still extensive damage on the exterior of the property. The windows, the steps, painting needs to be addressed. There's a window that's broken on the front here of the property, just left to the front door. This picture here is the debris that was observed that hasn't been removed. The city's asking for the next cutoff to come into compliance. I did speak with the property owner, Ms. Jeanette. There's supposed to be a financial issue to fix the patio areas and make the proper repairs on the property. The city's asking for 30 days, next cutoff. Mm-hmm. That concludes the presentation. Thank you.
Mr. McKinnon?
Yes. Like when I spoke to him on the telephone,
I guess it was him. I told him that I'm a single grandparent, and it was more important to me to start fixing on the inside of the house for me and the grandkids. I had siding put around the house. It was jealousy windows. I've changed them all to sliding up and down windows. I redid the floors, the bathroom. The city came in and did my kitchen for me. And in November, everything in my kitchen went out. The stove, the wiring, the refrigerator, the hot water heater. So I had to turn right around and go and do that. And I was telling Mr. Lopez, I get Social Security and I work part-time. And I will get these things done. I know what needs to be done. I can see it. But it takes time to do these things. I've had a roof put on. I've had a tent put over the house a couple of times. Every time I put a tent over there, it's $2,000. And like I said, I'm a single grandparent. I ask him, I said, well, if there's any way that you can help me, then I will take it. I'm no stranger to hard work. I will get out there. I can do a paintbrush and all. I've done it on the inside, and I can do it on the outside. It's just that I just don't have it at this time.
Is the junk vehicle operable at all? The junk vehicle, is that still there, or is that gone?
No, I told him, and whoever it was came the other day, just as I came in from work, and they parked their vehicle down the street and walked down there. But I'm not going to lie, because I know you can get caught up in lies. Whoever it was came. They came on the property. I came outside, but they never said anything to me.
Okay, but it's gone.
It's gone.
That's fine. What about the trash? Can the city pick that up?
It's gone.
That's gone. Okay.
Mr. Lopez, just wanted to confirm, so the only item we're considering, if you will, is the major exterior damage?
The major exterior damage, I have not gone recently up to check. I reaffirm the trash has been removed.
It was someone I did the other day.
The issues that we have here, the main problems that we do have is the major exterior damage. The junk vehicle has been removed.
Okay.
There's a little bit more than just a paint brush. It's a little bit more that we need to address in this area.
I need help.
Have you... I'm certain, Ms. McKinnon, with him explaining the violations that are in place, how much time do you think is needed for you to correct the violations?
I don't know, because I still have to pay all my bills and things.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, and I'm going to take care of those grandbabies. And it just takes time. Like, you know, like I was telling him, I take two step forward and three backwards. They came in and did my kitchen, but everything in November went out. And it would have cost more for me to get somebody in there to try to fix that than to go out and get new appliances with warranties on them. You understand what I'm saying? So it can be done. I know it can be done. I know what needs to be done. I just need time. I take care of a young lady, a senior. Her son is over maintenance where he worked. And I've talked to him about coming in and helping me get the patio done in the back. And me and the grandkids, if I can get the paint, we can do the painting around the edges, because I've had aluminum siding put on the house. And it's a big house. Everything that has to be done to it is very, very expensive. And being a woman, a lot of times, people take advantage. Okay? So, I don't know how much time. I can't say it. And I don't want to lie. But regardless of doing these things, I still have to take care of the house. We still need a place to live. Because if I don't pay the water bill, they're going to cut it off.
Ms. Hines, and then Ms. Kundik.
Have you applied for any of the city just asking?
Well, they did come in and do my kitchen. And I asked Mr. Lopez, because I know I live in the inside prize zone, and I asked him, was there any grant money out there available? And he told me, no monies. So I said, okay, you got to give me a time to get it together then. Well, I'm going to do it. It just takes time.
I think what the chairman was asking you, we have to know a time. And I think he was saying he has 30 days Can you do this in 30 minutes?
No, ma'am.
Okay.
No, ma'am. I cannot.
Okay. Can you give us some idea? That's how much time?
Probably the next 6 months to a year.
Ms. Coon?
I'm sorry, but that's probably the way it's got to be. Because I have to do a little bit at a time, you know. And as I, like I said, I get Social Security and I work part-time. So,
so you live in the house?
I do, me and the grandchildren.
You and the grandchildren. Does anyone else live there with you?
No.
Okay. Is this in a CRA or an enterprise zone, you said?
I found that out through the small business class that I took,
uh-huh.
that it was the enterprise zone out in that area. And at that time...
Midtown redevelopment area.
Uh-huh. It was
in a CRA?
Grant money, but he said it's no grant money at this time.
Right.
So that's okay.
And but who did the kitchen?
The city.
Well, what department in the city did the
kitchen? I'm sorry, but I don't know.
Okay.
All I know is
so
I
you got a grant?
Mary Wally.
That would be community development.
Okay.
Housing,
yeah, okay. How long have you owned the house?
Since 78. And I might add, he asked me about the insurance of the house. I had good insurance on the house until all those hurricanes came through. And when the hurricanes came through, they just sent me a letter and canceled the insurance. So it was too expensive to try to get other insurance outside of the mortgage company. So it ended up the mortgage company that got the insurance, and you know they only got, they would never replace half of what I've put in there, you know. So.
Okay. Mr. Lopez, are there any health or safety concerns as it is now?
Concern, the city would like to give a suggestion if we can secure this patio area, remove the patio, secure it within 30 days, and then come back within 60 days and give an update on the progress on everything else, the windows.
Can we go back to the shot of the patio, please?
Patio, right there. Yeah.
May I say that nobody uses that area.
Hold on 1 second. Okay. Now, Mr. Lopez, you're stating to remove the patio and secure it?
No, what I'm stating is either to repair it or remove it, secure it in a way where it's not a life safety issue. If we can go ahead and secure that area, if she is going to remove it, that's what the choice prerogative was, to remove the patio section there and secure that area.
Mr. Garcia?
Ms. McKinnon?
Yes.
Is that door secured?
Yes.
It's boarded up?
It's boarded up, and no, I removed the stairs myself.
I'm sorry?
I removed the stairs myself. All this must have happened after all those hurricanes came through.
So
you know,
that actually...
It don't have no stairs to get up there.
Okay. My question is, that actually was a porch area that...
Yes, house. That led downstairs.
Okay. There's still a floor on there that's unstable, correct?
Well, I went out on it, and it helped me. I'm sorry to say.
Ms. McKinnon, you just stated that door is secure.
That door is very secure.
But you just stated you went out on the porch. Okay.
Before I secured that door.
Okay.
Okay? I'm sorry.
I'm questioning if you look, and I don't have a point, but it appears that there's a screen there.
Yes.
Still, that door was open. That's what I'm trying to ascertain.
That door is not open.
The concern for us is, and I'm speaking on behalf of the city and my officer, is that that's a safety factor, that's a life safety factor. God forbid one of your grandchildren
never
comes out through there and gets hurt, that's the problem. So what we're looking to see, and just so that you have clarification, is if you have that maintenance person,
I've already talked with him,
okay.
But I think it'll be after the first of the year before you get a chance to get out there and to really help me do things.
To secure, repair, or remove that porch area.
Okay.
Okay, Mr. Chairman.
It's Ms. Hines.
Justice, what I'm looking at, and is this what you're saying? If you could get, since you're saying it's a hardship financially, if you can get a 3/8 or whatever, 5 or have the maintenance guy, but there are no funds, get up there and on that side, board up so no one can come out. Mm-hmm. See, because if you got it locked inside, someone can open that door. But if you board up the outside, it will give you some time. Is that what you're saying, that you want it secure?
Yes, ma'am. Okay. We need to be secure. I advise that the portion of towards the roof area is hanging down. Life safety issue.
Right.
Where, you know, someone could get hurt.
Yeah.
We can go ahead and repair it. That's one option. Or we can go ahead and remove it. Area secure. Come back within 60 days, see what the progress is on the exterior, the windows, the painting, the siding, other issues within the exterior, and see where we at, see some type of progress, and take it from there.
Mr. Lopez, are you saying the use of this stairway is the only concern, or is the structure itself somewhat?
There is no stairway. The structure itself, opinion, is dilapidated and unsafe.
So even an external...
Someone's walking, doing something.
Right.
They could fall.
Right. So what we need to do, or Mrs. McKinnon, what we're saying that you should do within the next 30 days is board that up from the outside and take that porch down, rip it off. Because it's
a
danger.
Well, I had told him that I would get my grandson to do it.
I mean, that's,
but
you know.
He's not old enough to do that, so I couldn't
get him to do that. Well, if that handyman can do it, it's not a huge expense to have someone come and take down a half of a porch, or to put a piece of plywood up.
Okay.
Or you have the option of redoing the whole thing. I mean, which would...
I would have liked to get it redone, but...
Well,
you know,
at some point, maybe when you have the money to do that, you can do that. And then I think what we're saying is that we'd like to see you do tell us what you're going to do and come back here and give us a progress report on how you can fix the other things on the outside of the house. We'll give you time to do that if you come back here and give us a progress report and tell us what you're doing.
When
we're trying to work
with you.
When I had
the up and down windows put in because it was all jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
Someone broke in. I had a policy report done. They told me to put postage... posters out on the outside to keep people from trespassing through.
Mm-hmm.
I bought a little house in the back to put my lawnmower and stuff in. They broke the lock off, they mm-hmm. tore the door off, mm-hmm. took the lawnmower, took the weed eater, took whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, it's just been one thing after another, just like the things that I do, then I got to go back and redo it again.
Ms. McKenna,
yes.
I think we're trying to get you to see the quickest thing. You say you want
I have them to take it off.
The porch. Is this board?
That's all right. I'll just have them to take it down.
Board it up.
Yeah, okay. For the time being.
I want to respond to you. Ms. Chairman, I'm just making a to that. You might have a citizen that might is willing to assist.
Oh, good. Hey, how you doing, sir?
He's willing to see if he could remove the balcony out.
Yeah, we do recognize the permit's going to have to be pulled for that.
And how much is the permit?
I don't think not necessarily for that porch.
Okay.
If you're constructing, right, they'll have to get
a permit. Oh, okay.
But
thank you, Lord.
To remove it, I'm not... We'll work with
okay. All right. In consideration, Mr. Lopez, of what you've been brought to light of, 30 days?
Yes, sir. And 60 days progress.
30 days to secure, 60 days progress?
Yes.
Okay. The inspector has made a recommendation to find a respondent in noncompliance and allowing the respondent 30 days to bring the property, to secure the property, and 60 days to give us an update on the status of the property.
Yes, to secure the porch area.
To secure or remove the porch area.
Yes.
And then a 60-day progress report on the overall status of the violations.
Of the rest of the violations, yes, sir.
Okay.
Okay, so we don't have the money yet.
No.
So 30 days for compliance.
60 days.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
All righty. So the chair will entertain a motion finding the respondent in non-compliance, allowing the respondent to bring the property in compliance by February 6th, 2013. Will be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day.
Ooh.
Is there such a motion?
And
securing or removing the porch within 30 days.
And?
Securing and or removing the porch.
Well, the door has to be secured because it's going to be the door to nowhere. Right. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
All righty. Motion's made by Ms. Himes. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Kundig. Any discussion from the board?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
I just want to go again, Mr. Tennant. I would like to, the young man had wanted to say something into this as we help or something. Why did we not?
I will secure it within 2 days for perhaps.
Good. Ah, that's nice.
Thank you.
But it's not a binding situation, so
yeah,
right.
Right.
Thank you. It's just
so
a nice thing.
Mr. McKinney, you do understand that immediately that door has to be secured.
Yes, I do.
And whatever you say. Then what we're doing is giving you the time you said you needed, but you have to show progress.
Yeah, I know.
To Mr. Lopez, that something is being done.
That's the reason when he put the thing on the door and I saw it, I went immediately and removed the truck, had the kids remove the trash and this kind of thing to let him know that I wasn't being rebellious, so to speak.
All right. Any further questions or discussion? All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. All right. Ms. McKinnon, we've given you have 30 days to secure or remove that door. And then 60 days for us to get a progress report on the status of the property.
Okay.
All righty. Any problems you may have or concerns, please get in contact with Mr. Lopez, as he's your first line of defense. All right?
Okay. I sure will.
I know the chair said it that way, but the way that Ms. Thomas said it, I think is what they mean, which is you have to secure the door.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I will.
As far as the porch, you can remove all the porch. You got to secure that door.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Lopez, your next case.
If we can go to number 22, please.
Case number 22, CB1212150, Victor Ingram and Agnes Ingram, property located at 526 Wallace Street. The respondent is present. If you can identify yourself and be sworn in, please, sir.
Victor Ingram. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
All we'll hear from the inspector first, Mr. Ingram, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond.
Eddie Lopez, Daytona Beach Code Enforcement, case number CEB1212150, Victor Ingram and Agnes Ingram, City of Daytona Beach, property address is 526 Wallace, parcel ID number is 3915330400020. The picture's about to see is true and accurate. This is a rental property. Mr. Ingram went today and obtained applied for a business tax receipt. The city is requesting 30 days next cutoff to have this completed and obtain the full business license tax and have that current.
Okay, so you want to just move the case till our next
to next cutoff? Yes.
Okay.
30 days for him to obtain, because he just applied for it. This is not already issued.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to confirm. All righty. Questions from members of the board? And I'm sorry. Mr. Ingram, you have an opportunity to respond.
Yes, I was out of town for the last 3 months, and when I got back, I had this at my house. I'm willing to take care of it. So.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Mr. Ingram, do you acknowledge at the time of notice that you did not have a rental license?
Yes.
All right. Seeing the respondent acknowledge, is there a motion to find the respondent in noncompliance and allow the respondent until January 2nd, 2013 to bring the property in compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a one-time administrative fee of $250?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Mrs. Kundig. Are there any questions? Discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you, sir. Mr. Lopez?
We can go to number 18, sir.
All
Mr.
right.
Chairman.
Number 18, CB121246, Rafika Itani Muhammad. Property address is 224 South Martin Luther King Boulevard. Is respondent present?
Yes.
Sir, if you can step forward, identify yourself, and be sworn in, please.
Rabia Itani. R-A-B-I-H-I-T-A-N-I. I-T-A-N-I.
Okay. You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Itani. We'll hear from our inspector first, and then we'll give an opportunity to respond.
Eddie Lopez, Daytona Beach Code Enforcement Officer. Case number 121246, City of Daytona Beach versus Rafika Itani Muhammad. Property address is 224 South Martin Luther King Boulevard. It's a commercial property. Property ID number is 39153378000050. Picture is about to see a true and accurate of this commercial property. It sits on the corner of El Dorado and South Martin Luther King. It's a tire shop. The property owner has done some work. The fence slats that were rotten or needed to be repaired has been repaired. There's still a lot of work that needs to be done. The building needs to be painted. The area, the work area here, has some grease. Somebody could slip and fall, which needs to be addressed. Hasn't been addressed as yet. The city is requesting 30 days to come into compliance of all violations stated. This concludes my presentation.
Mr. Itani, would you like to respond?
I would just ask.
Bring the microphone down.
Thank you. I would just like to ask for 45 days if I could, please. And I should be in compliance by then.
Okay.
Just for money reasons, to make sure that I can cover it.
Okay.
No,
okay. All right. Any questions from members of the board?
I have one. Just clarification as to your name.
Rabia. R-A-B-I-A. Oh, that's my mother that...
Oh, okay. So the
Rafika is my mom.
Ali Muhammad.
Yes.
Okay, but we do have that correct.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
Chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent to come into compliance by February 6, 2013, and be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Ms. Kundig, seconded by Mr. Smart. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Itani. All righty. So that we can wrap up page number six, Mr. Lopez. Case number 21, which is CB121249, Bobby and Glendora King. Property address 912 Sycamore Street. Property is in compliance as of December 13th, 2012. Case number 20, CEB121248, Pyramid Leasing Incorporated. Property address is 544 Dr. Mary McLeod Bethune Boulevard. Is the respondent present? Seeing none, Mr. Lopez.
I apologize, I was talking to the management.
No problem. Case number 20.
Mr. Chairman, if we could combine number 19 and number 20, sir, it's Pyramid.
Different.
Different addresses?
Just different addresses?
Yeah.
I apologize. Okay, we'll go with number 20.
Okay.
544 Dr. Martin Luther King Boulevard.
Mary McLeod.
Mary McLeod, MMB. Eddie Lopez, Daytona Beach Code Enforcement. Case number is CEB 1212148, City of Daytona Beach versus Pyramid Leasing Inc. Address is 544 Dr. Mary M. Bethune Boulevard. Parcel ID number is 38153376020240. Pictures about to see are true and accurate. This is a commercial property that's vacant, has been vacant for some time. The signage needs to be removed. I did speak with a
Glenn Herring.
After speaking with a neighbor, gave me this number, 386-566-1974. Glenn Herring is supposed to be the caretaker of the property. I did speak with him via the phone to address these issues. He's telling me the property is going under foreclosure. There's no list pendants on file. I try to get in contact with the property owner. The property owner's, I hear conflicting issues. She's deceased. She's in Georgia. I don't have first-hand knowledge on her whereabouts. City's requesting 30 days for compliance.
The illegal signage is the printed material on the window from the
Yes, all the signage that's on the vacant business storefront be removed.
Pyramid Leasing is not the owner of the property?
Pyramid Leasing is still the owner on file.
Okay.
It's an inactive corporation, but they are still showing us the property owners of this establishment.
And the only owner of that corporation is a woman that's deceased?
No, that's not what I said. I said
okay.
I was
I just want to understand.
I was informed that she was deceased, and I was informed by someone else that she's in Georgia.
Oh.
I have conflicting or vague information on where her whereabouts are at.
You don't really know. You've never talked to the act.
That is correct, sir.
Have our notices come back?
Yes.
He's getting his doctorate, and she's in Atlanta, Georgia.
He,
meaning
the owners of Pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But the property has been posted.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All righty. Any questions from the board? All right. The inspectors made a recommendation to find the respondent in noncompliance, allow the respondent until January 2nd. Second. 2013 to bring the property in compliance and be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second. Motion by Ms. Kundig, seconded by Mr. Smart. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. All righty. Case number 15. Which is CEB 1212.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, if we can go to 19.
Go sure. 19. Case number 19. Case number is CEB 1212147. Again, Pyramid Leasing. Property address is 538 Dr. Mary McLeod Bethune Boulevard. Violation: illegal sign posted on window of vacant building.
Yeah. Eddie Lopez, Daytona Beach Code Enforcement. Case number is CEB 1212147. Pyramid Leasing. City of Daytona Beach versus Pyramid Leasing Inc. Property address is 538. Dr. Mary M. Bethune Boulevard, parcel ID number is 38153397040060. Again, this property is a commercial property. It's vacant. There is no activity. The signage needs to be removed.
Okay. Chair will entertain a motion finding the respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent to come into compliance by January 2nd, 2013, and be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second. Motion made by Ms. Kundig, seconded by Ms. Himes. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number 18 has been disposed of, which is CB 1212146. At this time, we'll take case number 17, which is CB 1212145, Naomi Brown. Property address is 644 Division Street. Respondent not present. We'll hear from the inspector.
Eddie Lopez, Daytona Beach Code Enforcement. Case number CB 1212145. City of Daytona Beach versus Naomi Brown. Property address is 644 Division Street. Parcel ID number is 3915335001090. Pictures about to see are true and accurate of this property is 644. Has exterior damage. These tiles. Dilapidated and they're falling off. I spoke with her via the phone to obtain a permit. She hasn't obtained a permit as of yet. The vehicle, which is part of the violation, has been addressed. That's in compliance. What the city is requesting is for her to obtain a permit and repair the exterior within 30 days.
All righty. Any questions from the board? Seeing none. Chair will entertain a motion finding a respondent in noncompliance, allow the respondent to come into compliance by January 2nd, 2013, and be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Ms. Himes, seconded by Mr. Smart. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number 16, CEB 1212144, trust number 121, care of Dennis C. Riggins, trustee. Property address is 1281 Lockhart Street. Seeing no respondent present, Mr. Lopez.
Yeah, Eddie Lopez, Daytona Beach Code Enforcement. Case number CEB 1212144, City of Daytona Beach versus trust number 121, care of Dennis C. Riggins, trustee. Property address is 121 Lockhart Street. Parcel ID number is 3915339301090. Pictures about to see it true and accurate of what I observed. There is a commercial container which is still present as of today's date on the property, and a maritime boat on the property. Oh, kind of went out there. That's still on the property.
Okay, the boat isn't listed here, is it?
Mm-hmm. It's a big debris.
It should be a vehicle.
Oh, it's a big debris.
Or trash.
All right.
The city is requesting 30 days to come into compliance or a fine be imposed.
All right. Chair will entertain a motion finding a respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent to come into compliance by January 2nd, 2013, be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So
moved. Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Mr. Harrington. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number 1212143, trust number 551, care of Dennis C. Riggins. Property address is 551 Cedar Street. Seeing the respondent not present, Mr. Lopez.
Eddie Lopez, Daytona Beach Code Enforcement, case number CEB 1212143, City of Daytona Beach versus trust number 551, care of Dennis C. Riggins, trustee. Property address is 551 Cedar Street. Parcel ID number is 3915335002040. Pictures about to see are true and accurate. This is a rental property. I spoke with the tenant. I haven't been able to make contact with the property owner, but the property has been posted. This property needs major overhaul in the interior and exterior. The city is requesting 30 days to come into compliance by repairing and all the violations and obtaining a rental license. No rental license is on file.
All righty. Chair will entertain a motion finding a respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent to come into compliance by January 2nd, 2013, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day and consideration of a one-time administrative fee of $250. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by?
Second.
Mr. Harrington, any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. That exhausts our cases before us today. Any miscellaneous business to be considered?
And you're going to put on the elections next month?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Excellent job.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board.
All righty. Any miscellaneous business, Ms. Kundig?
No.
Ms. Hines?
It's just that for the board members, you got to realize Mr. Rico is now the chairman. So you have to get, you can vote, you know, somebody's got to start the ball rolling. Like everybody was laid back today.
So you got to
get on the board. He's now the chair, so
you got to
make those motions.
And you need to consider a vice chair, too.
Absolutely. Mr. Smart, any announcements?
No.
Mr. Harrington?
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to everybody.
All righty, staff?
I would like to say one thing that's not.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it would be nice to have an appointment before we.
Right.
The city manager's office has contacted me. There is one potential applicant who's being considered. There may be a second one. So we're looking to hopefully have somebody on board by January.
Okay.
Board, or if not, at least the commission meeting for January to have them then come on board for February.
Yeah. All right.
Hopefully we will fill our
vacancy.
Are we going to have any campaigning? You're going to have any campaigning? Because I think the new chair should institute coffee and donuts.
Chair, correct?
How about
for the
that?
Chair, yes.
I'm not in that.
You seek power, you've got to really.
Ms. Hines, yes, ma'am.
Nothing pertaining to this, but please don't take a flu lightly. I almost lost my husband. If you get a cold, don't think that it's just the flu. They don't have a name for it, but it is going around.
Mm-hmm.
Be careful with that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Very deadly.
All righty. Seeing nothing further, we are adjourned.